We're going to be in Galatians 6 this morning, and before I get into that and have a share opportunity to share the word, I'd like to pray and get started with a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for today. What a gift it is. Lord, as your Holy Spirit moves through us, may these words that are written, may they be shared to give you glory. May they be received in the hearts of others that are here this morning and to know that they will not return void. Lord, thank you for just giving us the opportunity to gather as a body in community and worship and be on mission together as a body of believers. So, Lord, we praise you for this morning and give thanks for your word. All right, it is Father's Day. So all of you fathers, happy Father's Day. I know sometimes Father's Day can be really awesome and wonderful, and sometimes Father's Day might bring some memories or some ideas that might not be so wonderful. So the gift of fatherhood is something to treasure and honor, to know that we have a heavenly Father that redeems and loves us as his children. I want to share with you a couple of things about Father's Day for me that might be interesting. You might just say, hey, Kirk, that really wasn't that funny, but I'd like to share it with you. One image here on the screen, for those of you that were alive in 1980, this is the Conair 1250, I think is the model number. This is how you blow dry your hair. This is the Dyson of the 80s when you think about hair dryers. Why Father's Day? Well, my dad was a master griller. This is how he got the charcoal briquettes fiery hot. He would run a long extension cord, and he would fire up the hairdryer and blaze those things and grill the steaks on Father's Day to his liking and his perfection. So that's my Father's Day memory. I don't know why it popped up, but I thought it'd be great. Number one is because it's so ancient and vintage. But if those holes ever filled up with lint, then that's when you knew you needed to get a new hairdryer because it would blow up. It couldn't blow in the air. So a lot of you know that hair dryer and those faults there. The other image I'm going to show you is a Father's Day gift I just got on Thursday. Yeah, that's what I said. I laughed. I didn't quite know what it was. That is what you call an ostrich pillow. Nobody knew what it was in 9:30, but so I'm hoping that you, if you know, that's awesome. So my wife and I, we have four kids. And one granddaughter, and we have two sons that live in Hawaii, and they thought Dad needed this ostrich pillow for all the travel that I don't do, but the napping that I do. And so those holes at the top, when you put it over your head and you lay your head down on the desk, you can take a nap and be very comfortable. Now, I did try it on, and within about a minute, my head was really hot. And that, so I'll either be soothed because it was so cushiony soft, or that the heat soothed my head. So if you get a Father's Day gift like that, just say thank you. Thank you. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with that, but I'm going to try it. I promise. I promise that I'm going to try it. All right. So before we get into Galatians 6, you have heard it. If you've been here on Sunday, Galatians 5:1. We've used it as the beacon and the verse that we have looked towards for the freedom that we have in Christ. So just let me start there just as a reminder that Galatians 5:1, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. The reason why we've brought this forward each Sunday is in Christ we have that true freedom of the work that he did on the cross. That in that death of Jesus on the cross, we were made new again. And I think if you don't hear anything out of the next 20 or so minutes, is that because of that work on the cross that was perfect in Jesus dying and then rising from the grave a couple of days later, is that we as believers were made new. So if you hear nothing that I say from this point forward, is that as you are a believer in Christ, you are new and you are free so that you can live free. And as Paul uses that word of yoke of slavery and not to put it back on means that we might take it off and we might put it back on. And that's the trouble with the law or living in the world, is that we have that tendency to put that burden back on us. And Paul's saying, you're free. because of what Jesus did on the cross. And just as a kind of a flashback to Matthew 11, that Jesus makes an invitation to us to put his yoke on us, that all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke, not the yoke of slavery, but my yoke, the yoke of Jesus, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what Paul is wanting us to know, that we don't have to put that yoke of slavery back on, that we walk in the freedom of Jesus Christ. So putting those things together, that's my hope for you today, is that you see that, you feel that, and know that, and you're encouraged as a community of believers that we walk in that freedom with Jesus. So there's 3 points in this passage. I'm going to read Galatians 6, 11 through 18 as we wrap this up. There's 3 points that I want to make known as we journey through these verses. One is that our boast is in the cross of Jesus, not of ourselves. The second one is in Christ we are new creations. And the third one is by the work of the Holy Spirit, we will bear the marks of Jesus. So I hope you see those as we read the verses now and then as we walk through the passage. So let me read. If you have your Bibles or your phones, your devices, turn there. Galatians 6, verse 11. See with what large letters I am writing to you, with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them, and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. Now, it was customary in those times as Paul would write a letter, and you see him in the epistles and in the most of the New Testament that Paul wrote, that he would transcribe or he would dictate to somebody and they would write things down. But you see in verse 11, as he's finishing up this letter, that he wants to make this of great importance. So he takes the pen and he wants to be in bold type, all capital letters, as we might send in a text message today, that this is what I want you to know. All of the previous parts of the letter, very important, and we can't ignore that. But these points I want you to know. And some of them we haven't seen before. The idea of being a new creation. We haven't seen in his comments before in the letter. So in that, he writes in his own handwriting, in big letters, I want you to know this. A second reflection that I have and I want to share with you, in chapter 1, in verse 10, is a personal connection for me. And as Paul puts this out here, and we've had it in front of you on the title slide at the very top, and I'll just read it for you. Galatians 1:10, for am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. So what Paul starts out in Galatians 1 is a bit of a testimony where he says, this was my life before. Now I have a new life in Christ. And that he was one that persecuted believers in Christ. And people wondered, I'm receiving this new letter here in Galatia after Paul had visited me, and I don't know who this guy is. He's the one that tried to kill Christians. Now he's writing one proclaiming the truth of Jesus. And so he's stating in this verse 10, my approval doesn't matter for what man says. My approval and my pleasing in being a servant of Christ is in God alone. And so in verse 11 or verse 12 and 15, in Galatians 1, Paul goes on and he says what his testimony of his life and his former life was. And so he's living that out now. And so for me, in a personal reflection, years ago, I was listening to a sermon by Scott Wilson, who preached here last Sunday, about having a family crest, something that your family stood for, and a testimony to what you believed and how you would live those things out. So I have an image here on the screen that years ago, these images became important to me to communicate to our family. Various things that we would say. You know how one family just says things over and over again, it becomes part of your culture of your family. And so we had an umbrella to stay under the umbrella protection of the Lord, a heart for our heart, soul, and mind that will love God fully, and that would be a house, and this house would stand for the Lord. But the Roman rule, too, is reflected in Galatians 1 for me, where Paul clearly says it's either one choice or the other. I'm going to please God or I'm going to please myself or please man. And so that became a symbol, so much so that it became a tattoo that some of our children have on their body now. And so that's what Paul, in emphasis in chapter 1, is saying. You have a testimony that you can share, and the importance of it being in Christ alone that makes you new again. And so I hope that you see that as we walk through these last verses of chapter 6. One other point about your testimony. We're in membership class right now, last Sunday and then next Sunday. People that want to be in membership here at Grace Community will walk through a process where they actually use one of these booklets to tell their story. And as Paul artfully tells throughout this book of Galatia, that is that this is what I stand for. I stand for what Christ did on the cross, that this was my old life, now I'm new again, and I can share that story. So I'd encourage you to have an opportunity, if you don't go through the membership classes here at Grace, but that you still have an opportunity to hear from Paul, hey, I can do it too. I can share my story of what I used to be like. Now I'm new again. I can share that with others. So I hope that's meaningful. One other thing that Scott shared last week was a quote from Tim Keller, because the gravity of what our old life is and then a new life is captured in Tim Keller's book, in his commentary book on Galatians, and we'll have it up on the screen, where Tim Keller writes, "The beauty about the transformational power of the gospel. The gospel is that I am so sinful that Jesus had to die for me, yet so loved and valued Jesus was glad to die for me. This leads to deep humility and deep confidence at the same time. I can't feel superior to anyone, and yet I have nothing to prove to anyone." For me, that captured the idea that it's in Christ alone and there's nothing else that matters. And so in verses 12 and 14 of chapter 6, Paul takes this idea of boasting in the work of Jesus on the cross. So, verse 12. "It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast except in anything but the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." The point Paul is making here is that our boast is in the cross of Jesus Christ and not ourselves. The Jewish leaders wanted to keep making the Jewish law the most important thing and forgetting that what Jesus did and completed the work on the cross was the most important thing. So it was important for them to convince you to follow the law. In this case, he was making comments about circumcision or not, that they could boast that they got you to do that or that you complied with some aspect of the law. But Paul's point was, boast in the glory of what Jesus did on the cross, that the human efforts to make things relevant that are irrelevant, the law. Jesus dying on the cross made the law irrelevant. It is still useful to us to guide us, but it pales in comparison to what the work of Christ did on the cross. I have an application in my life where my first real job, 22 years at one company, The name of the company was Deluxe Corporation. They were the owner of, or the leader, the market leader, the better way to say it, in check printing. And those of you that are younger than I am, the payment of the debit card first came by way of a check. And so the way that the check was created, there were some standards, and Deluxe was the leader in the industry, and they had the opportunity to influence how those checks were made. And so I went to work for that company in 1993, and this graph shows you what you all know is checks. Who writes checks, right? Well, yes, I know today, but in 1990, you can see the peak of where check printing was. I went to work for Deluxe in 1993, and oddly enough, that's the top of that line. And then it goes down after that. But the point I want to make that I have an application for is Deluxe as a company wanted to take our customers back to what we thought was relevant. And so our motto began, we want to be relevant in our clients' eyes so that we could maintain what was inevitably going to go down anyway. And so for me, the application is the Jewish leaders wanted to make the law more relevant than what Christ did on the cross. Bringing back the laws and compliance and performance that really didn't matter. So they wanted to boast in these aspects of the law, but the grace of Jesus dying on the cross is really what was relevant. So the boast that actually belongs to the glory of the Lord. In Jeremiah, the Lord says in Jeremiah 9, 23, 24, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord. I practice steadfast love, justice, righteous in all of the earth, for in these things delight, declares the Lord. We cannot overcome with the law what the work of the grace of God did. We can't. Because it's the grace that we had been saved through faith. It's not anything of our own doing that Paul says in Ephesians. It's a gift of God. It's not a result of works that we have anything to boast in. That in verse 10 of Ephesians 2, it says, we are his workmanship created in Christ to do good works, to do good works. And that God, in his grace and our faith in him, makes that relationship possible. What is relevant is that we are justified by faith in Christ alone and not any of the works. Our old self is gone, that we have lived by the law is now dead, and we have become new. And as I was saying earlier, that this is where we walk in our freedom, that Christ paid that price for us. So Galatians 6:15, where Paul introduces that it doesn't matter if it's circumcision or uncircumcision, that we are new creations. Paul hadn't brought this up, this idea up of being new yet in his letter to the Galatians. But it was the whole point of what Jesus died for, because the work on the cross made us new. Later in Corinthians, Paul says that if anyone is in Christ, they are new. The old has passed away, and we have become new. This life of becoming new is enabled by God's grace that brings faith. Faith in Christ, and we are justified by that faith alone. The new life and this life of faith comes from Jesus dying on the cross. He became sin for us so that we would know and become the righteousness of God. Our old lives died there. Our sinful past, sins might from the future or present, they died there too. A cornerstone verse in Galatians 2, verses 19 through 20, talks about this new life that we live in faith. For through the law I died, so that I might live to God. I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This new life How do we live it? How do we know for sure? But the Jewish leaders wanted to have a standard of the Mosaic law, but now we are living in what the covenant of Christ's blood, and that's what we're living in, is was Paul's point and the whole idea of Jesus dying on the cross. In Philippians, when Paul is in jail, he makes a point to say that the work of the cross was perfect. He says, not that I've already obtained this that or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because of Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ. So this new life, we are not perfect. Christ's work on the cross was perfect. Therefore, I can live through that power of what Jesus did. The confidence that Paul has to share with us that this new life becomes a way of life. But how do I live that? How do I know? And the work of the Holy Spirit becomes that power that I can know. And the last point that I want to make and bring forth is how the work of the Holy Spirit begins to allow us to bear the marks of Jesus. In Galatians 6, 16 and 17, Paul says, "And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus." The power of the Holy Spirit begin that work so that we bear out the marks of Jesus. We talked about in Galatians 5 the fruits of the Spirit, that they're in contrast and always in battle with the flesh. But if we live by the Spirit, we will also keep step with the Spirit, is what Paul had said in Galatians 5. And it becomes a way of life. Walk by this rule. A rule not meaning the law, but this is our new way of life as we become new creations. And so the evidence in the Holy Spirit working through us allows others to see that so that we can share and what Christ has done for us. The closer that we draw to Jesus, the more we resemble him. More intimacy in the relationship, and that grows deeper, deeper. In the Message translations of Galatians 5, I just thought this was a powerful way for Paul to bridge the gap between the work of the Spirit and the flesh, that they were always in battle with each other. Paul says, "His counsel is this to you, believers, live freely, animated and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feel the compulsions of selfishness. For there is a root of sinful self-interest in us all that is at odds with a free spirit. Just as the free spirit is incompatible with selfishness, these two ways of life are contrary to each other, so that you cannot live at times one way, circumcision, and at other times another way, according to how you feel on any given day, boasting about the works that you get to do others, to get others to do. Why don't you choose to be led by the Spirit and escape the erratic compulsions of a law-dominated existence? As we live in the Spirit, the fruit becomes evident. A life in legalistic tendencies just trip us up. We can't do it. We can't fulfill all those aspects of life. It's the freedom in Christ that fulfills and makes us whole. So our new life in Christ, a life in the Spirit as a disciple or an apprentice of Jesus. Again, I want to bring up Galatians 6, verse 16. "And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God." The Israel of God, the children of God. This rule that would produce the peace and mercy would be upon them. Peace meaning you would be at even with God because he has declared you new because of what Jesus did. Several weeks ago, we were in John 15. Where Jesus talks about abiding in him, that you cannot produce fruit if you are separate from him. This is that new life, the practicing of the way of life of Jesus. A book that I have so treasured walking through by John Mark Comer, it's called Practicing the Way. One of the things that he synthesizes down is this, as believers, that we practice being in the presence of God. is that we put our hearts at rest, we put our lives at rest, and we begin to hear God. And that as an apprentice of Jesus, then that's where we become to look like Jesus. John Mark Comer, in his book, he gives us an aim, a goal, if you will, of three things. That as we practice this way, as we abide in Jesus, whether it's weekly, daily, whatever, however we abide in Jesus, that we are with Jesus, we become like Jesus, and we do as he did. This is that rule of life. We live as Jesus lived, the abiding in Christ. I think what Paul is saying in this letter that we've been able to walk through over these last couple of months, in this freedom that Christ has set us free, is that the burdens that have weighed on us in our life, that we are able to shed those. And that as we take on the yoke and the easy yoke of Jesus, is that freedom becomes our life. Then we're effective to share the gospel with others, like Paul. We have the opportunity to enjoy things like the salt camp for our GSM, or even here being in community with you as we interact out in the commons, that we bear those marks of Jesus. We share the joy of a changed life and that we're new again. That's what it means truly to walk in freedom. And so our hope that as we've walked through this book is that you have enjoyed that freedom and that you have begun to walk in a new aspect of being in Christ. Let me close in prayer. Father, thanks so much for this gift of your word, that we have a newness of life. We have newness in life in Jesus. The idea that you made known to us with his life, his perfect life, the brutality of the death, but the beauty and the victory of resurrection of Jesus, is that we walk in this freedom. Lord, that as we bear the marks of Jesus, that we see and know, and that we have the fruits of the Spirit. And Lord, as we live these transformed lives, that we impact the lives of others that do not yet know you. So Lord, thank you for giving us the opportunity as your sons and daughters to live freely with Jesus. We praise you for this goodness and faithful love that you pursue us, Lord, all the days of our lives. Amen.